Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I know the feeling.
The power gemo is over top of the camera, and I'm trying to shrink it, and it won't shrink.
Yeah. It's a bit... it tends to be a bit resource-hungry software.
Can you... Let's see. I'm going to click on camera.
Okay. That's coming up now. Oh, no, it's... I think possibly we do.
Recording saved.
There it goes again.
I think when you try and do the camera and the recording, it probably sucks up all the resources. I think if you just have one or the other, it's all right.
Yeah. It keeps loading programs and I keep trying to get to to see you, and
right.
it keeps overpowering me. I'm going to get close, and see what happens here.
Alrighty.
Alright, I'm going to click on camera again.
Let's see if it plucks out. Yeah, it's kicking you off. When you get both going.
Recording saved.
God, will you quit that?
Yeah, you can switch that off and it's really annoying, isn't it? I hate it.
Yeah, I keep closing it and it keeps coming back.
Yeah. But you can switch that message off in the options for power gramo thing. You just switch it off.
I'm going to turn power gramo right off if I can. Close.
Alrighty.
Alright.
Yeah, just right click. You've got to right click on the thing in the tray, you know, at the bottom of the screen. Because otherwise it will still be in the background.
Saved.
Good God, I turned it off.
Got to right click on the icon in the bottom right hand corner and then do exit or, you know, close or something.
I did.
You can only do it from the icon though. You can't do it from within the thing.
Oh, okay.
You've got to go into the system tray thing, you know, at the bottom right hand corner of you and then get the power gramo icon and right click on it and then do exit.
All right, I'm doing that. Boy, it sure loads up the laptop.
Yeah, I think it's quite, because the way it processes the Skype audio is pretty CPU intensive. I think it takes up a lot of the resources.
Yeah, it makes a huge file.
Yeah, it does as well. There's this other one that you might I found it useful. I'll send you the file for it, and because it may be also quite resource hungry though, so you may just find that it sucks up all the resources if you've got an older laptop. Let's find it for you. It's not that big. It's only 1 megabyte. This records directly into MP3, and it's free as well. Ah, it's gone off again. Back again.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to quit trying to kill things because it's overloading the laptop. I can't close power game up.
All right.
So I'll just spend any time I try to click on camera, the power game will comes on, and right now the laptops are overtaxed. Why I wanted to talk to you was to explain and fill you in on what happened since we last talked on January 1st.
Okay.
Not long, within 24 hours of me talking to you, remember I was trying this camera to see if it would work, and you were telling me to focus it and stuff and introducing me to your wife and kids and your cat?
Yeah.
I was knocked right off the internet.
Ah.
And there was no way in God's green earth I could get back on. And
yeah.
You know how I kind of believe my gut more than my brain most of the time?
Okay.
I had a real bad feeling something bad was going on. It was January 1st, and I hadn't talked to my family over Christmas and couldn't raise them on the phone and all kinds of shit at a personal level, right?
Yeah.
But then I couldn't get on the internet, so basically I couldn't receive emails, couldn't use my magic chat, couldn't do nothing.
Hmm.
But I felt something weird was going on.
Okay.
So I took my precious laptop, the one that they tried to hack last fall.
Okay.
And I don't like putting it on the net anymore because I got so much stuff in there, you know, that I deem important, right?
Yeah.
And I took a chance and went for a walk. Fuck, it was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Figured nobody'd be around. And I didn't go very far. And it was a very cold night.
Yeah.
And I think it was about January the 5th or so.
Yeah.
And I had done a lot of things over Christmas. I filled you in on some of it because now and then I include you in the BCC line.
Right.
But, you know, unless you're intensely onto my stuff, it would be hard to understand what I was up to, but I was just sort of sending it to you and sending it to other email my accounts just for records.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went for a walk late at night, very cold night, in a very deserted area. Right where I am?
Okay.
I wasn't there minutes. And a fellow I know who's in with the government, his brother works for the penitentiary system, his dad used to be a big politician, he's a private investigator.
Hmm.
Drives right up to me. Within 5 minutes of me being on the street.
Unbelievable.
Well, I don't believe in fucking coincidences,
no.
You know?
No.
Huh?
No.
And he's asking me what I'm doing. And I'm saying, well, because when my son was here through the fall.
Yeah.
When I first landed up here in the fall.
Yeah.
I used to take the car and go out to where I was trying to access this free internet by way of a tire shop in the industrial park.
Okay.
And I used to park the car beside the tire shop because I'd have a real good, real fast connection. And that's
right.
And that's where I used to access the net.
Yeah.
When I talked to you in the spring.
Okay.
And amongst the first times I was there this spring in September.
Yeah.
The same guy drove up and asked me who I was and what I was doing. Right?
Mm.
So anyway, since my son left, I've hardly left this building. I showed you how I had the modem outside the building, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was accessing a bar down the road.
Yeah.
So then, after 4 or 5 days, and there was no way I could get on the net, I went for a walk, as I said. He comes up, and I think this is weird. Now, I only have so much time, so much battery in the laptop.
Of course.
So I, it's cold. It's hard to even, like, type. It's
absolutely.
Cold. So anyway, I downloaded my emails from Google.
Yeah.
And took them back to the apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm having a look at my emails. And the light started to dawn in Marblehead as to the possibility as to why I was off the internet.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I forwarded you some of the emails. I might have. But, well, it doesn't matter. I'll just tell you about it.
All right.
Amongst the things I was doing before Christmas
is
they have officers of parliament over here, and they're commissioners.
Yeah.
So a commissioner, I don't know if you understand Canadian parliamentary proceedings, but they're probably similar to the British ones.
Right.
But a commissioner is an officer of parliament.
Yeah.
They don't report to any cabinet minister.
Right.
They report directly to parliament. So you take like the commissioner of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yeah.
He reports to the Queen, and the Queen still oversees our parliament.
Yeah.
They are untouchable. Then you have the commissioner of public sector integrity, the ethics commissioner, the Auditor General of Canada, okay?
Yeah.
They are all officers of parliament who have no boss except the Queen. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, who they send their stuff to and report is the PCO office, the Privy Council office.
Right.
And the president, you know, the president of the Treasury Board. Mm. I don't know how it works over in England, but that's the way it is here.
Right.
All right. Now, before Christmas, there's no way unless you follow Canadian politics intensely, but when Parliament, the current mandate of the Canadian government, they've been elected twice now in the 39th and the 40th Parliament. They're a minority government, kind of like what you now have in England.
Mm.
But he has been ruling the roost because he has a certain grip on the scene, kind of thing.
Right.
But one of the things he created was a new commissioner for public sector integrity.
Mm.
So that gave bureaucrats an avenue to rat out the government.
Okay.
Now, it was tabled by the president of the Treasury Board, who at the time was a parliamentarian named John Baird. He's like second in command to the prime minister.
Mm.
He tabled what is known as the Accountability Act, and that stemmed from a huge scandal relating to commissions investigating the Liberal government over the possibility of Quebec leaving Canada. And it gets very complicated.
Right. Okay?
But anyway, the Commissioner Gomery in the Gomery Inquiry during the time that I ran in the election of the 38th Parliament, I'd taken on that commissioner too, and he had asked a very obvious question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, is it within the realms of the mandates of bureaucrats to call the RCMP when they see a crime?
Mm-hmm.
And no lawyer working for the government would answer them. So they had the fellow that was in charge of ethics for bureaucrats come in, and he said, it's not in our mandate to call the cops. Otherwise, if it's not in our mandate, then we don't have to report.
Yeah.
And then a lawyer who you can see it all in my documents if you bothered to read them because I quoted them. There was a lawyer named Leher who explained to the Gomery Inquiry why he didn't support crimes. He said because he was under oath. And the only reason he was telling the commissioner now is because the commissioner had released him of his oath.
Right.
So, basically these lawyers, you know how a lawyer, you could have a mafia kingpin for a client and you can be aware of all kinds of crimes, but you can't do anything because of client privilege.
Right.
Same shit, different day, only at the highest levels of the government because of their oaths.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was a long, 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 long time ago. And they created this Accountability Act that came into effect in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they appointed their first commissioner, and you can see it in the documents I sent you, it's called Public Sector Integrity. It's that PDF file called Public Sector Integrity.
Right.
As soon as he appointed an acting commissioner, his name was Pierre Martel.
Yeah.
I called the prime minister's office as soon as the act took effect. I was the first caller.
And right.
Their office wasn't even created yet, so I called the prime minister's office, and believe it or not, I'm one of the few fellows that could get through to the prime minister's office. Yeah, it's true, because they want to know what I'm saying, right? So anyway, the prime minister gave me the contact number for the new commissioner.
Yeah.
And I was his first fucking caller.
Wow.
I was. This was in 2007, and you can see it in the documents. I put it in writing and sent it, registered Canadian mail signature required.
Yeah.
Okay? So, yeah. Now, who had caused the Gomery inquiry, had caused the Liberal government to lose their power, was the Auditor General of Canada. Her name is Sheila Fraser. She's another officer of Parliament, and she has the power to audit Parliament, do everything.
Right.
She's a huge crook. She used to work for a big accountant company called Grant Thornton.
Okay.
Like you take the big accounting company KPMG that is right full of RCMP officers.
Mm-hmm.
They audit the U.S. Justice Department. And when I blew the whistle on KPMG, of course the U.S. Justice Department isn't going to do anything. I had taken on their fucking auditor.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Never forget my matters are about money, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when I was running for in the election of the 38th Parliament, the Gomery Inquiry was going on, and it was, I hope you're recording this, you know, because it's...
Yeah, I'm recording, yeah.
Because it's really complicated, but anybody who understands it later,
yeah.
This is a recording to save, right?
Yeah.
During the Gomery Inquiry... everybody's all lawyered up, right?
Everybody's?
And, everybody's got a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, so the Auditor General of Canada, her name is Sheila Fraser, her lawyer was Richard Dearden.
Yeah.
So I couldn't talk to the Auditor General of Canada, so I took on her lawyer, Richard Dearden. And I have all the records to prove it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was 6 years ago. That lawyer, Richard Dearden, is now the Prime Minister's lawyer. Get it? So anyway, that said, I've been taking on Richard Dearden and the Prime Ministers, all of them, for years. I know you can see it in my stuff.
Mm.
I get the phone number from his name was Pierre Martel. He was the acting commissioner, a lawyer, acting as commissioner, the official one was appointed.
Mm.
Call his office. And they say, well, this is a whistleblower office for bureaucrats.
Mm.
I say, no, read the fucking act. It's for everybody.
Mm.
Right? Like, it's for bureaucrats and others. I'm an other.
Yeah.
Right?
How do you define a bureaucrat? I mean, that's, you know.
You have to work for the government.
Yeah, right.
But. Either you're a government employee or you're an other. I classify as an other.
True.
Right? And I want to blow the whistle. Now, if a bureaucrat wanted to blow a whistle with that office, all they had to do was pick up the phone, send an email, or fax them.
Yeah.
Because I had to send hard copy.
Yeah.
I said, your wish is my fucking command. Huh?
Mm.
So I sent them about 700 documents.
Right.
A CD and a long letter, which I had my son in 2007 proofread because my son's better educated than I.
Okay.
And he kept trying to make me change some of my expressions. And I said, no, Max, it's my letter, not yours. Some of the grammar. Is deliberate because I write as I speak.
Mm.
You know, I can't pretend to be somebody I'm not. So yeah. I had to look for obvious mistakes, but
yeah.
I wanted the letter to be in my words, not
yeah. Yeah.
somebody else's. And he and I took a month to write it.
Wow.
Boredom to death.
Right.
I did it. I sent it registered Canadian mail. Now, quadruple check, I just didn't send it to the Office of Public Sector Integrity. At the same time in 2007, Lord Conrad Black of your government,
yeah,
who's lord of a subway stop,
right,
who was a huge, he owned a huge newspaper media interest.
Yeah, he bought the Daily Telegraph, I think. Well, no, he was owner of the Daily Telegraph, I believe.
Yeah.
Or the Independent. I can't remember which one. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, he was being prosecuted by one of my enemies in Chicago. And this is in 2007, long before Barack Obama ever got to be fucking president.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He was being prosecuted. Meanwhile, I'm taking on his lawyers in Canada and everything and everything, and I've been taking him on forever and all kinds of stuff. Okay? Mm-hmm. But I sent it to Lord Conrad Black's lawyer, Eddie Greens, who was defending him in Chicago. This is in 2007, during the trial. Meanwhile, the FBI, the U.S. Treasury Department, and the U.S. Postal Service in Chicago are calling me very worried while my son and I are composing the fucking letter. They want to know if Eddie Greenspan, Conrad Black's lawyers, know what the FBI and the U.S. Treasury Department knows.
Mm.
You understand?
Right.
And I recorded all this. Like, they would call me on unlisted numbers, right?
Yeah.
You know, the number we blank. I can send you one I just got the other day. You'll enjoy it.
Mm.
I saved the voicemail.
Yeah.
I see the call come in and it's anonymous. The number's blank. Anytime the number's blank, it doesn't even say anonymous. I know it's a Yankee Fed.
Right.
So anyway, in this particular instance, in Chicago, I had called the U.S. attorney in Chicago, Patrick Fitzgerald, and left a very important message.
Mm-hmm.
So then three agents from the U.S. Postal Service, the Treasury Department, the FBI, all on the line at the same time, called me. And I say, now who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And he says, I'm FBI agent so-and-so. I said, you could be the fucking king of Siam for all I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anybody can call an unlisted number and claim to be who they fucking well
yeah,
with.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
I say, who are you to think that you have the right to know my business? If you're the fucking FBI, talk to your boss, Mueller, because I sent it to his lawyer, Valerie Caproni, in 2003, before I caused the hearing in the Senate Banking Committee
yeah.
that Patrick Fitzgerald answered me for, and Senator Fitzgerald quit, yeah. and that's when Obama went for his seat. How much do you want to know, Yankee? Right. And he's going, well, does Conrad Black know all that you know? I said, his fucking lawyer, Eddie Greenspan, does.
Right.
And I said, before we talk any further, I'll tell you lots, but first you got to tell me your name and give me your phone number.
Yeah.
And he did. And I said, fine, I'll call you back.
Yeah.
And I waited for a friend to come sit with me.
Okay.
And witness the call.
Yeah.
Now I got the motherfucker. I got
right.
his number on my phone bill.
Okay.
And I got a witness.
Yep.
And then I fill these fucking Yankees in till their head's spinning because they're just little fucking agents. They don't know shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know how I can talk and give you information overload.
So anyway, oh, yeah.
So anyway, I just made them dizzy. And as I said, I was writing this letter.
Yeah.
So because everybody was worried about Conrad Black, and it was 2007, and his trial is still ongoing. He was just in court last week.
Right.
I sent Eddie Greenspan the same material. His lawyer, while his client was on trial, registered
bail. Right.
I sent it to the committee that oversees our intelligence community, CSIS. I sent it to the general counsel of the committee because I was talking to Mary McGrath for fucking years, and she kept saying, well, send me some stuff. So I sent her the motherlode. I sent it to her.
Yeah.
I sent Eddie Greenspan. I sent it to this new commissioner, Pierre Martel, Public Sector Integrity, and I sent it to the tow truck driver who had my Harley and wouldn't give it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because his sister works for the Supreme Court in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
So of the four people I sent it to, in that letter, it's in the email that I sent you there. It's called Public Sector Integrity. It's a PDF file.
When did you send that, David? I've just been looking in my archive to try and track it down.
It's an email that has four attachments.
Do you know roughly when you sent it? Last month or?
In the last month.
So that'd be be December.
Yeah.
Let me just see if I've. Cause it might, there's a possibility it might not have come through. I've got some stuff there with attachments. So, let's see. 19th of January. No, that's way back. That's no good. Communication is the key. No, sorry, I've got 1st of January. 1st of January. 2812. I've got one of the secsenators.com.
You can see it on the internet. Anyway, into Google. Type in, let me think how you find it. Type in David Amos, David Raymond Amos. Public integrity. See if that'll give you a hit.
Okay.
I know I sent it to you, but I try not to overburden you with my stuff. But.
Okay, it's possible that it's just I've moved it into the wrong folder or something. I get a lot of email as well, and sometimes I'm not that good at the folder too.
But if you type into the internet David Raymond Amos and public integrity, I'm sure you'll find it in my Scrib documents.
Okay. Yeah, it's compromised. I don't know if it's there, but I haven't got a link there. It's come up in a Yahoo group. Destroy the Beast is the title of the message.
No. Well, other people have grabbed my files too, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm sure I can find it if I spend a bit more time.
Yeah, but if you don't have it or can't find it, I can send it to you again. But
okay,
just
so right.
You kind of roll with the story.
Yeah,
I know you believe me, so
yeah. Just
you understand the high parts, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. Now this was all before Christmas.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about was in 2007. I was the first caller to this Office of Public Sector Integrity. You understand?
Yeah. Did he tell you that then? Did he say, you're my first caller or something?
No, the lady who answered the phone told me that.
Yeah, it's good when you get...
Yep. That wasn't the first time I was the first caller to the lady that answered the phone. But I'll just continue on for a minute.
Right, yep.
So anyway, they ignored me. This was 2007, okay?
Yeah.
Now... Later on in 2007, in the fall of 2007, I told you that I noticed that the hearing at the Senate Banking Committee had gone missing.
Yeah.
So I'm calling the Senate Banking Committee. I'm calling Elliot Spitzer's office. He's yet to be elected governor. He's still the attorney general.
Yeah. Right?
And he testified at the hearing. This was in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Now, amongst the people I called was the Office of Public Sector Integrity.
Okay.
And I explained it in my YouTube. I might have reloaded it, I'm not sure, in my new YouTube channel, but
yeah.
I kind of abandoned it. But it was in my old YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I explained it in great detail before the RCMP pounced on me again in 2008. I explained it. I showed the letter in YouTube, showed the mail receipts, showed the response from Eddie Greenspan. I explained it, right?
Yeah.
But that said, this was in 2007. We're still in 2007. The hearing went missing. I'm torturing Treasury agents. I'm torturing Elliot Spitzer, the Attorney General in New York. I'm torturing everybody. Is only torturing. I'm torturing. Right?
Right.
That's in her mandate.
Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. She goes, woo. And I said, well, you be very careful. I have a lot of enemies, as you can tell, but you might be the honest lady I've been looking for all these years. You're in a very good spot, and you got the documents, right?
Right.
She says, I'll get back to you. She never did.
Mm.
Now, later, about six months later, I'm down on Warner Box Farm because he had lost a lot of cattle, and I started making some YouTubes of his farm as his cattle was dying.
Yeah.
And I was in quite a battle with the RCMP, and I remember the time quite well. It was May of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the blue, the Auditor General of Canada calls me, her office. Right?
Yeah.
Now, she's been ignoring me since 2004.
Yeah.
And I'm in this huge battle over dying cattle, right?
Yeah.
But about that time, it was May of 2008, Elliot Spitzer just got arrested with the wrong girl in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And I explained that some of that in YouTubes. Out in the middle of the field with the cows coming up around me. They were kind of funny YouTubes. I don't know if you watched them or not.
I don't think I've seen those, no.
I told the cow that she was better looking than the Governor General again. Right? They're really funny YouTubes. I put some of them back up.
Yeah.
But I'm in this huge war with the cops and everything, and I'm making these YouTubes and talking to cows and showing dead cows, and it was like wicked.
Yeah. Right?
And there was a bunch of municipal elections in New Brunswick going on at the same time, and all the politicians were making false allegations against me, trying to have the cops arrest me, and the cops didn't know what to do. I was serving the cops. She was war, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, out of the blue, the fucking Auditor General of Canada calls me.
Yeah.
So I say to them, why are you calling me now after all these years? I've been sending my stuff to a lot of people, and I've been talking to a lot of people, but not to you guys.
Yeah.
Why are you taking an interest in me now? And they stuttered and hung up the phone. So back to my gut again, I feel something's up. Right?
Yeah.
So I decide to call Manon Hardy. I thought maybe she was in trouble. I hadn't heard from her in 6 months, right?
Yeah.
So I call Manon Hardy, and I say, I liked her. I thought she was honest. You understand?
Yeah.
I said, Manon, are you okay? It's Dave Amos calling. I said, I got an interesting call from the Auditor General, right?
Yeah.
That's another officer of parliament.
Yeah.
And she says, just a minute. So I'm sitting there, and you wouldn't believe who comes on the fucking phone.
Yeah.
The guy who testified before the Gomery inquiry about bureaucrats and their mandate.
Right.
He sent me an answer, lying to me. And now he's got a new job inside the public sector integrity.
Yeah.
And he's telling me if I ever call their office again, he'll have me arrested.
Wow.
And I'm going, put that in writing, motherfucker. I'm entitled to an answer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And poof, Manon Hardy is gone from the office, disappeared. Now, this is 2008, okay?
Yeah.
I'm on to many other things, doing many other things. They're crooked everywhere in the world.
But oh, anyway, yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Now we come to the Christmas time of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years have passed. But the motherfuckers were right, because within the month, the RCMP picked me up and tried to lock me up in the loony bin, remember?
Okay, yeah, yeah, I remember.
That was in 2008.
Yeah.
And I raised a lot of hell about it and explained it in YouTubes, explained who Manoah Hardy was in the YouTubes about during the election, and the cops pounced on me again and tried to arrest me. They tried to arrest me a whole bunch of times, right? So anyway, now it's Christmas time, 2010.
Yeah.
All over the Canadian news, you can type it in. Type in Auditor General of Canada, Public Sector Integrity. There's all kinds of news.
Okay, I've come downstairs to eat now, but I'm still on the, I can still speak for a bit.
All right. I'm sorry to interrupt your supper.
Right.
But anyway, it turns out, who would know, because they do a lot of things in secret, but apparently the Auditor General of Canada, who's kind of like top dog in Parliament.
Right.
Had taken it upon herself to audit the Public Sector Integrity Office because she had received a lot of complaints from employees of the Public Sector Integrity Office.
Right.
So here's the office that's supposed to oversee the integrity of bureaucrats, and the bureaucrats that work within them office are complaining to the Auditor General about that office.
Right.
And it turns out that they'd had 22 employees since they were created that had left the office.
Right.
Fired out of the office, run off, quit, whatever. And a lot of them were complaining of their commissioner, so the only person they had to complain to was the Auditor General, so she decided to investigate. Right? So as she's investigating that office, the Commissioner of Public Sector Integrity, Ms. Wiemet, quits, retires, and can't be found. They can't bring her before Parliament to testify.
Right.
Nothing. Right? So big scandal ensues. It's huge, and it's right before Christmas. There's only one employee they kept. His name is Joe Friday.
Right.
I crossed paths with him because he used to be the lawyer for the Minister of Indian Affairs, who I ran against years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the lawyers that wrote the Accountability Act, and he was general counsel for the commissioner, and of course he kept his job. Right? So they brought him before Parliament and grilled him. Meanwhile, I'm all over this like a dirty shirt the whole time.
Yeah.
And I sent their voicemails because they wouldn't send me emails, but I managed to get a couple to send me voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
So in the before the commissioner quit, before anybody knew what was up, right, back in, I think it was September. I believe it was September. I can send the emails, but I'll just roll on for a minute.
Right.
It's in September of 2010, before the commissioner disappeared, before it was announced that they were being audited, I had called Public Sector Integrity again to try to talk to Manoah Hardy in 2010.
Mm.
Okay? The woman that answers the phone said she just got her job. I was her first caller. Now, unbeknownst to me, I did not know so many employees had come and gone in the office. They didn't come out of news yet. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing in the news about internal strife.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So I'm asking for Manoah Hardy, and the woman's never heard of her and says she's not in this office. I said, have you ever met her? She said, I just got the job here. I've never heard of her.
Yeah.
I said, how about a guy named Watson, ex-RCMP officer? No, he's not here anymore. I said, how about Belanger? And she says, he's not here anymore. And I said, well, who's there? But I needed to know, right?
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me talk to the commissioner or somebody who speaks to the commissioner. And none would come to the phone. Nobody wanted to talk to me. And I have no idea about this audit and shit. You understand?
Yeah.
And I'm telling the nice lady on the phone, I said, well, this is David Amos. And I'm entitled to an answer I sent to you people years ago. I said, type my name into the internet. You'll see that I exist. And she does. And I said, type in David Amos and stop. And then, bang, I catch the Treasury board on one of the blogs I directed her to. I suckered them. But now I got proof of contact. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So nobody comes to the phone. Nobody answers me. But that lady who answers the phone is wicked nice. So right. I've been calling her every now and then since this fall. I had a talk with her Christmas Eve.
Ah, right. Not long ago, then.
So anyway, what happened between September and Christmas Eve was it come out in the news that the Auditor General was auditing that office, the commissioner quit, they brought Joe Friday before Parliament. He did a whole bunch of lying while I'm talking to people behind the scenes while he's lying before and after he lied.
Okay.
I'm talking to people in his office that are all worried about their jobs, and they're all playing dumb. So I get this voicemail from a bitch in the office. She leaves a voicemail. I can send it to you.
Right.
She's saying, Miss, you've talked to four people in my office today. Do not talk to them anymore. And this is just before Joe Friday testified before Parliament. And I'm trying to talk to him, right?
Yeah.
She said, don't talk to anybody in the office but me. I'm the one you should talk to. But she'll never pick up the phone. Every time I call her, it just goes to voicemail. She wants to make me say something threatening so they can have the cops arrest me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But she won't answer her phone. So when she calls me, I don't answer the phone. And she finally left me a fucking voicemail that said that.
Yeah.
Right? And I saved it. Perfect. Now I got proof of contact with the bitch's voice and name because I can't get nothing in writing from her.
Okay.
You understand the game? It's bad. I have to be so sneaky, but I'm not being sneaky. I'm straightforward.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, that said, this was all before Christmas. Joe Friday testifies before Parliament. Everybody's appalled because apparently there had been something like 218 or 238 complaints made to the commissioner's office. And the auditor general had audited it, and they hadn't investigated one complaint, not one.
Not one. Blimey. Amazing.
Right? And these were complaints made by even people within the department against the department. Huge scandal.
Hmm.
So Joe Friday says, before Parliament, he testifies before Parliament, that somebody is investigating those complaints now. But he wouldn't even tell Parliament who was investigating them. Right? So, obviously I know who's investigating them. I'll give you one guess.
Right.
The Auditor General. She's got all their books. Right? So I contact the Auditor General again, but they're all over my blogs. I recorded where they were all over the blogs looking to see what I said about them. I caught them doing it. The reason I called them is I saw them looking, right? Because they found where I was bitching about them in the fucking document. You understand? So anyway, they wanted to see what I published about them, right? So anyway, I'm trying to talk to the Auditor General, and I'm ordered by every office that I call never to call again.
So I'm just getting hassle from the people that are here. Well, I'm getting threatened with tickling.
They want you to enjoy your supper instead of talking to me, right?
Pardon?
They want you to enjoy your supper instead of talking to me, right?
Well, that's it.
Well, then you enjoy your supper with them, and I'll call you later.
Well, I can call you back probably in about half an hour. Is that going to be any good?
Yeah, you do whatever. You see to your family. They're top of the list.
I'll call you back in a bit, David, because my wife's going out to a thing tonight, so she's just getting ready to do that.
Pay attention to them. They're more important than mean old me.
I'll speak to you soon anyway. Bye for now.
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I just did a fresh reboot.
Stop it, man.
Just so sorry, what?
Is that your little darling?
Yeah, I can see you now.
I'm trying to figure out where to put the camera.
All right.
I just did a fresh reboot.
Okay.
So everything's up. But before I did, while you were busy with your family, I forwarded 5 or 6 emails. Did you get them?
Okay.
I sent them from 2 email accounts.
Right.
And the last one I sent before I rebooted.
Yeah.
You should find interesting.
Right, hang on a sec. I was going to put my thingamajig on. Okay.
It be the last one you received.
Right, I've got one. Okay, the one that's Zionist, etc. Now that Mikey Piper.
Yeah. Now, I've got a mission today, and I thank you for that file. It's nice and small.
Right.
And I'm going to save it for my records. I probably uploaded it on the internet with your permission. So we'll keep personal information about your kids or anything like that.
Right.
For the record, of all the people that I've encountered on the internet, it boils down to just you are the only ethical soul I've encountered thus far, Andrew, and I'm not bullshitting you.
Well, I don't have any access to Grind. I'm not. I'm remote from you and everything.
Yep.
You know.
Well.
So see, listen.
I'm grateful for you because your skills with the computer are intensely valuable as well.
Yeah, well, I try and share those as much as I can, you know, when they need to be shared.
Yeah, and when I first encountered you fall of 2009, I thanked you for your honesty then. And I said sometimes knowing me is not a good thing.
Mm. But, I know the feeling, though, David, so, you know, I sympathize with you. That's partly why, you know, I try at least listen if I can't, even if I can't do anything, at least I'll try and listen, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm in the same boat as you in what I've been doing, you know, in a smaller way, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's not tea time here, but it's always coffee time for me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to go and get mine while you're talking, because I've left mine downstairs. But I can still talk, because I'm on the wireless.
All right. I wasn't sure how big the files were going to be, so I thought I would break up the conversations, but where that file's so small, I'll just roll as fast as I can and we'll save the whole file.
Right.
But a lot happened since you and I talked last summer while my friend was dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was off the internet and busy with my son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Throughout the summer, and then once I put him back on the bus in November after the cops pounced on us.
Yeah.
He didn't go on the bus until the middle of November.
Okay.
And then I attacked big time right through to Christmas and found myself knocked off the internet.
Yeah.
Right after I talked to you on the first. So the first email I sent you in that pack today.
Yeah.
I believe was an email that I sent and received on January the 2nd from that little bastard over in England.
Oh, the guys that you were trying to explain to and they weren't very nice.
Yes. Now, let me explain that one to you because I think I judged when I was back on the internet, it was important for you to contact these guys and here's why.
Yeah.
last spring. I'm going to try to stay on one topic at a time. I'll try not to ramble, and if I do, put me right back on topic, okay?
Okay, I'll try.
I'll finish about my doings with the Canadian parliamentarians in a minute, but let's see if I can be a little service to you first.
Okay.
Now, I was talking to you on January the 1st, just trying out this video camera.
Yeah.
And this is the second time I've ever used it. The fellow that bought it for me thinks I'm snubbing him because I couldn't get on the internet.
Yeah.
and I wouldn't return phone calls because I couldn't get them.
Yeah.
But anyway, he and I will resolve that. I talked to his wife. I think he's still got a pout on, though.
Yes.
He went to a lot of trouble to give me this video camera. He had a lieutenant in the military.
Oh, I remember you telling me. Yeah, he told me that. Yeah, he told me that he got it. You did tell me a bit of that story.
Yeah, so anyway, me and Fred go way, way back. We'll work it out. There's no problem there.
Yeah.
But and then I've only – you're about the only other friend I have in Skype, so
– yeah.
There's been no need to load it or use it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I used it on January the 1st.
Yeah.
And if you recall, I was off the internet all last winter after I talked to you when we first met.
Yeah.
And when I did get on the internet in the spring between the time I got on the internet until my friend was dying.
Yeah.
I was in this huge war in YouTube with legions of anonymous trolls.
Yeah.
And I had solicited